Speaking in tongues, and why is it important for us to speak in tongues? Nobody should be begging you to speak in tongues. It is God's way of connecting you with your source of grace. It's God's way of revealing to you his perfect will. Hallelujah, somebody. Shall we open our Bible? Let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want us to read from verses 1 to 6. One by one, let somebody read verse 1, another verse 2, so that we are all following. Please open your Bible, Romans chapter 12, and please have your pen and paper ready. You need to write things down, not just in a useless piece of paper, in a notebook that you can go back to and look at. Shall we start? Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is your reasonable sacrifice. Who is Brother Paul speaking to here? Is he speaking to an individual or a church? It's a church. How do we know that? He said, brethren. And he said, you present your bodies. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Change your thinking. Change the way you appreciate the things of God. God has a perfect will. But you, your life, when we look at your life, we will see something. We will see whether what you are proving is just the good will of God, or whether it's just the acceptable will of God, or it's just the perfect will of God. And I will show you. Continue. I say through the grace given to me as an apostle to everyone in Foursquare, Itire. I should not think myself, because I'm standing before you teaching, that I am better than Brother Yinka, or better than Sister Damilola. Think soberly. According to what? Yes. Measure of faith. We will come to what he's saying. Continue. As we have many members in the body, this is the cross. I want you to mark verse 4. Continue, sir. All members of your body do not have the same function. Continue. So we be many in Itire. But we are one body, four square it, right? Just one body, but many members. But what happens to you will affect me, because we are one body. We are one building. You are a lively stone, I am a lively stone. But once they put us on that foundation, your stone is touching my stone. My stone is touching another person. Hallelujah. Go on. Having then gifts. different according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. What Brother Paul has just said is that there is a will of God for the church. God has a perfect plan. There is something he thought in his mind when he created the body of Christ. There is also something he was thinking in his heart when he created you. Are we agreed on that? That's his will. That's his game plan. And he did that even before we came on the scene. Hallelujah. There was a meeting in heaven. Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Almighty. They sat at that meeting. I said, Brother Aka, Aka is going to be born in the year this, and this. The Word stood up and said, when Aka is 12 years old, I will go and I will save him. He will become part of this body. The Holy Spirit stood up. He said, when Aka is born again, I will go and I will fill him. So he can speak in tongues and get the revelation of my will for his life. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. He said, we are one body, but different members. And we don't function the same way. We don't. Every part of your body. Brethren, when you are reading Romans 12, also don't forget 1 Corinthians 12. Come on, anyone? Hallelujah. They are the same sibling. Write that down. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. You must read them together. Just like there are different members in your body. And the nose is different from the eye. And the eye is different from the hand. And the hand is different from the leg. And the leg is different from the head. The same thing in the church of Jesus Christ. Your function is different from my function. And my function is different from your own function. So Brother Paul said to me, don't think because you are teaching the people of God that you are special. Say you are not special. Be sober in your thinking. Why? Why am I not special? Because it is not me. Let me tell somebody, it's not you. It's grace that is working in your life. So in those verses, there are three things that came out. Number one, you have a duty to perform in the body of Christ. Write that down. And that duty is called a calling. God calls you. It's not the pastor alone that God called. What's the radical thinking? We used to think that they said the laity and the minister, that we are separate. I'm just coming from my niece's engagement. I say, I have to leave. I have to leave. I got there around 3. By 4:15, I say, I'm leaving. They say, why are you leaving? I say, I'm teaching Bible study. They say, Pastor. I was amused. I didn't talk to them. They think I am a pastor. They are not a pastor. They don't understand. They don't understand. There is a calling of God upon your life and upon my life. That's number one. What's number two? There is an ability of God in your life called a gifting. Tell somebody you are gifted. You are gifted. You are gifted. And that gifting came by reason of a grace. There's a calling, there's a gifting, and there's grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. It's just like in Brother Yinka's house. There is a fridge, There's a television. There's a toaster. There's an electric cooker. Okay? And then all these things, they are connected to what? To the same power called NEPA. But when NEPA comes on, the fridge does something different from the toaster. And the toaster does something different from the TV. Hallelujah. Why? The TV is designed different from the toaster. That's a gift. It's the design function. God designed you that way. The fact that you are speaking very well is a gift. The fact that you understand something so quick and some other people take 2 hours to understand the same thing is a gift. But it's the same Holy Ghost that is flowing through those appliances. It's the whole NEPA. But when the wire comes to the fridge, the wattage it will take is different from the wattage of the toaster. Abby, is it not different? Those are the graces. The graces are not the same because they are not to fulfill the same function. Praise God, somebody. Let's say it again. There's a call of God upon my life. I have the gift of God in my life. And I am who I am by the grace of God. Paul say, I am who I am by the grace of God. So don't think yourself superior. Don't think yourself superior. It's all because of grace. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Okay, if God calls you, then God must have an arrangement, must have a place where he wants to fit you. Abby? Abby? When Jonathan formed government, what did he, when he first went to do his meeting, what did he go and do? Portfolios. Say, okay, which portfolios shall we create now so that they can fulfill my transformation agenda? He said, okay, there should be a ministry of environment. There should be a ministry of power. Isn't that so? He created offices so that the people that will come and work with him, they will be put into those offices. Praise the Lord, somebody. The same thing. God created offices in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you understand these things, I like 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, so that there should be no schism in the body. You can't be jealous of me, or I am jealous of Baraka, or the gifting of prayer life of Brother. No! When we bond together, when we walk together, when Brother Yinka enters his house, he can enjoy everything from those appliances. When we bond together, we become exactly what God wanted. Praise God, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is it verse 28 now? Let's look at verse 28, 29. Hold on, please. Let me be sure. Okay. Let's start from 27 to 28. Yeah. Yes. God has created these offices in the church. God has created this department in the church. Continue.
First apostle.
Second prophets.
Teachers.
After
that, miracles.
Gifts of healings.
Helps.
Administration.
Miraculous.
varieties of tongues. Did you number them? Count them. How many are there? Are they? Eight. These are the different operations of God's government in the body of Christ. The different offices that are available. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's go over them again. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, help, administration, varieties of tongue. Eight operations of God. And each of us, because we are called, we must find ourselves where? Inside one or two of these offices. It's a must. It's a must. Praise God, somebody.
Hallelujah.
The first one is what? Apostles, prophets, teachers. What he called miracles there is like Ephesians 4:11. Is evangelists. The evangelist is graced with the gift of the working of miracles. What he calls healings there is a pastor. Then there is help, there is administration, then there is varieties of tongues. Last Thursday we talked about the varieties of tongues. It's also an office. Now, these eight offices are created by God, and we are to fit into them. There is only one office that we can fit into immediately. What's that one? Look at them again. You are born again today. Today, you can fit into one of those operations. What's it? Evangelist. Yeah, you can fit, but you have to learn some Bible. Help. Yeah, you have to be faithful first. There is one that you can, even there was a time I can never forget. I was preaching. One lady, I don't know where that lady must have left this assembly. I prayed, I called for salvation. And she came. As she received Christ like this, I put my hand like this. And she started speaking in tongues. I didn't even need to teach. Just like this. She was speaking in tongues. So what's that operation that we can fulfill immediately? His tongue. And God designed it that way. Because to become an apostle is not a one day or one year job. You have to grow in grace to that. The same way to become a teacher. Oh, you can stand up and teach, but how many people will listen to you? They will be sleeping. Just like Yaba in those days. When you hear that Onuso is teaching, we're wrong. When we look and it's not Onuzo, we just come and sit near the door. So that as soon as somebody say grace. All the other offices, the first seven, you have to grow in them. You have to be faithful doing small things. Then God promotes you. You grow in grace. Then you can become a teacher, you can become a pastor, you can become a prophet. But the only one that you can do immediately is what? The gift of tongues. Why? Last Thursday I mentioned a bit of that. That's the one that will help us to grow in the grace that is needed to occupy those offices. When you pray in tongues, what do? Bible says you edify yourself. We still have a teaching and we'll talk about that edifying process. It's not just charging up your battery. No, it's much more than that. Oh, a lot more than that. You get revelation of God's purpose. And when you get revelation, your faith goes up. Your spirit gets stronger. The Holy Spirit also helps you to deal with those things that always put you down. That sin that easily beset us. The Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, suddenly you won't find that they are not there. You see, the devil put that there so that you cannot grow. As soon as God wants you to grow, to use you better and mightier, that sin gives you a start. But when you pray in tongues, that carnality will go away. Praise the Lord. Let's switch a bit. He said, I want you to prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, what is that perfect will of God. You know, as you step into grace and you have your gifting, you understand your position, your call, you are supposed to be growing. But some people stop at 30%. Some stop at, let's go there. Is it Mark 4:20? Let's go there. That's exactly what he was talking there. The parable of the sower. What did he say? The sower went to sow the seed. The first three soils are not good. They are not good. The pathway, the stony ground, and among stones, they are not good. But the one that is good, he said, the seed fell on good soil. And he explained what a good soil is. Let's go there. Read it for me. Yes. They hear the word. They receive the word. They bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. They hear the word. They accept the word. He's talking about people like you and I. People who come on Thursday for Bible study. No, it's the in crowd. Oh, why do you think Bible study and prayer have the smallest number? On Sunday, all comers now. But call a prayer meeting or call Bible study. It's those who are hungry for God that come. Who want something more. Hallelujah, somebody. These are the people who accept the word, they receive the word. But the word, some grow 30%, some 60%, some. What's the difference? Why is some 30? Why is some 60? Why is some 100? They get 30% of the revelation of God's will for their life. And they start brightly. And they are happy. But something stops them. Something. It may be the deeds of the flesh that stops them. Oh, we have examples in the Bible. If you read Jude very well, Balaam was a prophet, wasn't he? He said, the man whose eyes are open, when he speaks, why do you think Balak called him? He's well known over that territory. They call him. He was already doing his ministry, but he was not 100% yet. There were still issues in his life. And what was the issue in Balaam's life? Greed. The error of Balaam is called greed. He sacrificed, he prophesied the right things. When he could not do but prophesy the right thing, he Because the spirit will not let him speak something else. He said, and I must get this gift that this man promised. So he said, come, Kim, come. The way to derail these people, forget about cursing them. I cannot curse them. But if you want to derail them, set your women loose to attract them. The women will bring them in to worship idols. But what happened to Balaam? The man was praying. He said, Lord, I want to die the death of the righteous. For where? Oh, yes, it's in the Bible. He was killed. He was stopped at 30% or maybe 60%. He didn't fulfill his ministry. And he ended up badly. The same thing with Korah. They were Levites, men of renown, well known in the assembly. But pride got in the way. He said, oh, Moses. It's just like me telling senior pastor, you're not the only one that can speak in tongues and do prophecy. There are many of us that can do the same thing. It's called pride. Your gift will make way for you. Develop your gift and let God showcase you. And their ministry was truncated. So there is a 30-fold, there is a 60-fold, there is a 100-fold. You are saying to me now, Pastor, how do I find the will of God for my life? What has God called me to do? That's not my work to tell you. I can teach you. No, it's not my work. You will find it. The will of God is to be discovered, found. It's not for a pastor to tell you. Oh, the pastor can see the gift of God in your life. And say, this man. Okay, let me help him a bit. Give him responsibility. But you yourself must go and pray and find out what is that will. That will of God was put in your spirit by God when you become born again. Having been born again, not by the corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. In that your spirit, God put a seed of his plan for your life there. And when you open a seed, sir, what do you find? You find anything inside it? But when you plant the seed, what does the seed do? It grows the plant that is inside it. Hallelujah. When you cut a maize seed and you look inside, do you see anything? Nothing. But the program of God, the genetic program that will produce other maize is where? Inside that seed. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. The seed of God's plan for your life is already in your spirit. Brother Paul puts it this way. He said, I want to share with you the people of Colossians, the church of the Colossians. There is a mystery that was hidden for generations, but it has now been revealed to his servants. Well, and that mystery is what? Christ in you. Let me tell somebody, Christ in you. Christ in you. The whole plan of God is wrapped around what? Christ in you. Say it again. Christ. The hope. That is, you can have a glorious expectation of tomorrow. Why? Christ in me. Say, I know the thoughts I have concerning you. Thoughts of good, not of evil. to bring you to a future and a hope. That future is what? Christ in you. He said, call upon me and I will show you. Every one of them, when he wants to show them, when he said, call upon me, I will show you greater mighty things. He's talking about prayer. When he say, I know the thoughts I have concerning you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you a future and I hope. The next verse say, and then you will go and pray. Tell somebody, pray. Tell somebody, you must pray. And you must pray in tongues. Why must you pray in tongues? I told you before that when God looked to the future and saw Sister Osimhen and wrote in his book, Psalm 139 verse 16, he wrote in his book, in the year 2012, Sister Osimhen will be in Itire Foursquare. She will minister in the power of the Holy Ghost. When she handles the mic this month or next month, because I know she will handle the mic very soon. It's all in the book. But who was there when it was written? The Holy Spirit. What does John 16, 13 say? How be it when the Holy Spirit will come? He will guide you into what? He will show you what? Oh God, man. He said, he will take of me and declare it to you. Creation is in that declaration. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks or gives you a revelation, what happens? Another jigsaw puzzle of the whole plan of God drops in your spirit and say, ah, oh, yes. He was there. And what Bible says, when you pray in tongues, what are you doing? You are speaking what? Mysteries to who? To God. What are those mysteries called in another language? Divine secrets. Are they mysteries to God? They are not mysteries to God. They are mysteries to you. But who will bring you the understanding? The Holy Spirit. The more you pray in tongues, the more he gives you a revelation of God's plans and purpose for your life. So that, and I have found this true, so that you will walk in the plans and purpose of God, even accidentally than on purpose. That is, you cannot fail. I have found it to be true that if you pray in tongues and you pray in tongues for a long time, sometimes, most times, I wish to come to most times, but I know that sometimes you just go to somebody and you will speak and you are speaking exactly the things that is bothering that person. Why? It's like a man who is drunk with wine now. When he's drunk, who is controlling his life now? The wine. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, oh, guess what? Guess what? Who will control your tongue? In fact, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was when he started controlling your tongues. Started teaching you how to speak. One day I was in a party with my family members, and I went to this woman who was in Union Bank for years. I said, ah, what are you still doing in Union Bank? It's time for you to retire now. He said, I resigned last week. I said, yes. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, how do you know? I don't know. That's the Holy Spirit. We were at another gathering doing the engagement of another niece. I saw one. I said, you are the next one. Oh, go and get ready. And true, she was the next one. I didn't see any light. I didn't see. The Holy Spirit just make me to say it. I said, you are the next one. And in the scheme of things, she should not be the next one. It was not near her at all. But she was the next one. In fact, when they told me that, I said that after that, I was afraid. I said, oh, this one, this he has a senior, two seniors. And she was the nurse. When you pray in tongues, the Spirit will drive you. Why? Because the Spirit has been built up far above the carnal senses that detract us from the purposes of God. I'm asking somebody tonight, will you pray in tongues? Will you rather spend time with a person who knows the mind of God, who knows the plan of God for your life, who can never pray amiss, who knows how to pray that the devil cannot stop? Won't you rather spend 3 hours with him? Brethren, in this assembly, we must grow up. We must not be people that they are told again, beg, cajole to pray in tongues. The very life that we live depends on that. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. In rounding up, I want to tell you that the plans and the purposes of God for your life deposited in your spirit as a seed. As you pray in tongues, what happens? John 7:37, what does it say? He said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. What, when rivers flow on a seed, what happens? Hallelujah. The seed must germinate. Every seed needs water. Your seed, the plans of God for your life, needs the Holy Ghost water to bring it to fruition. Hallelujah. Shall we be on our feet tonight and just thank this Holy Spirit, this awesome God that chose to live in us, the one that does not want anything to be spoken about himself, but who wants to reveal Christ in us. The Bible says the plan of God is that every man, every Christian, every believer be what? Like his son. That's the plan of God. Like his son. In power, in character. Can you magnify the Holy Spirit in tongues with me?